This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Georgia Republican Congressman Phil Gingrey, who represents the Peach State's 11th Congressional District. He's also one of the many House Republicans who will be voting in favor later today of the cut, cap, and balance proposal of 2011. It's the House Republican approach to dealing with the nation's soon-to-expire debt ceiling, and we're soon to eclipse that officially on August 2nd. Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Greg. Glad to be with you.
First of all, there are obviously a lot of different concerns, a lot of different priorities in dealing with a lot of out-of-control spending and out-of-control debt right now. Why do you believe the Cut, Cap, and Balance Act is the best way to go?
I think it's really the only way to go, Greg. I'm shocked that the president came out with a statement of administrative policy, the SAP. Clearly, he's wrong on that. I mean, how can he say that he's opposed to cutting spending, capping the spending at almost 20% of GDP? I guess he's gotten used to 23 and 24% of GDP. And then finally, last and certainly not least, the balanced budget amendment, which 49 of our 50 states restrained themselves on the constitutional balanced budget requirement. And it is the only way, and I say that because in the past, pay-as-you-go, balanced budget act of 1997 or whenever. I mean, you go back to all of these things of the best intentions, the road to hell is paved with good intentions, and you can't bind future Congresses by these type of commitments. It just hasn't worked, and that's why we're at 14.3, soon to be $16.7 trillion worth of debt. We give him that opportunity to raise the debt ceiling an additional $2.4 trillion, but all we're asking in return is true balance, and that's a balanced budget amendment.
So what you're saying is you can't really, in the long term, cut and cap without the balance.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because we're talking about not short-term fixes, Band-Aids here and there. Those Band-Aids get smaller and smaller, and pretty soon they become a spot Band-Aid. No, we have to have something not only does that, Greg, but also a permanent, long-term, hopefully permanent solution with the balanced budget amendment. And it and actually is an enhanced balanced budget amendment, as you know, because it would also cap spending at 18% of GDP, that's 10 years out, but also to raise taxes, it would require a supermajority. Because without that, you know, you can balance the budget by just simply continuing to spend if the money's coming in and continuing to raise taxes. So you balance, but at a higher spending level, and we know that that's fiscal insanity.
We're talking with Georgia Republican Congressman Phil Gingrey. And Congressman, obviously a balanced budget amendment, any amendment to the Constitution, but before it can get to the states, would require two-thirds in both chambers of Congress. That's considered unlikely, probably even in the House where Republicans have the majority, but almost impossible in the Senate where the Democrats control it. So if, in fact, the balanced budget amendment does not succeed in the next coming days here, where does that leave you in dealing with the forthcoming debt ceiling expiration date?
Before addressing that specific question, let me just say that, of course, today's vote, and it will come up around 7 o'clock this evening, requires a simple majority in the House of Representatives because we're not specifically voting on the constitutional amendment. We're just voting on a commitment to vote on a constitutional amendment. So 218 is a majority in the House. We feel that we need more than that. We don't want to have just simply a majority. We hopefully, you know, I hope we get 240 votes in the House. We'll lose some Republicans, not many. We'll gain some Democrats, but we need to send a very strong message to the Senate. Those folks that are supposedly in the know say that this can't pass the Senate, so therefore it's a waste of time. It is not a waste of time, and I think it very possibly could pass the Senate. It may be that it might take them a couple of weeks to do it. We might get right to the brink of August 2nd, but I think we ought to push hard for this because clearly it's the only, in my opinion, it's the only solution.
So you're okay with the promise of a subsequent vote on a balanced budget amendment in order to move forward here?
Well, yes, I am. Again, it's time for President Obama to say to Harry Reid, look, this is not an unreasonable request on the part of the Republicans. You know, we're going to get that increase in the debt ceiling that's going to take me beyond the next election. So helps him politically. I'm not really happy about that, but in any regard, he gets what he wants. But what I'm mainly concerned about is the next generation. I've got 10 grandchildren, and, you know, it is unbelievable that my next grandchild, if we have any more, will owe $46,000 the day that child is born. And for us to continue down this reckless highway makes no sense at all. So, you know, I hope the president will indeed come to his senses and do the right thing.
Just about a minute or so left in our conversation with Georgia Congressman Phil Gingrey. And, Congressman, one of the big debates really within the Republican Party in the last week has been this idea behind the McConnell plan. His approach seems to be, for those of you working on cut, cap, and balance and so forth, good luck. I hope it works. I'll support it if it comes to me. But I don't think the president's going to agree to it, and I don't think it's going to win the light of day. So he has offered this plan to basically give the president the power to raise the debt ceiling three times for a total of about $2.5 trillion. It would be a two-thirds majority to stop the president from doing that, meaning Republicans could be on the record as opposing it but not actually stopping it. Most people who sort of like this idea say that it's not good, but it could be the best of a lot of lousy options if, in fact, what we would really like to do can't get done. What do you make of the McConnell approach?
Well, Greg, I have a lot of respect for Minority Leader in the Senate, Mitch McConnell. He's a friend, and I think he's a great leader. But I don't think much of that plan. I really don't. I've had other people refer to it in some pejoratives. Someone said this morning in conference that it's a last-ditch effort. I don't know about last, but I think it is a ditch effort. It's ditching our responsibility to do the right thing and to just say, well, okay, you know, we'll just put it all on the president's back and let him sink or swim and let him own the whole ball of wax. But I just don't think that is what we need to do for the American people. He raises the debt ceiling 2.4, and we continue with reckless spending and deficit and debt, and we get, despite raising the debt ceiling, Moody's and Standard & Poor's, the credit rating agencies, go ahead and downgrade our debt. And so what have we accomplished? We've accomplished something politically, and we can point fingers come November 2012 and hopefully win the Senate. And now Mitch McConnell is not Minority Leader. He's a Majority Leader of the Senate. We have a Republican president. I'd be very happy about all of that. But I'm just not sure that's the main thing that's at stake here. In fact, I know it's not. I think the solvency of our country is what's at stake.
Congressman, we'll certainly be watching the debate and the vote later today and how it plays out in the Senate from there on. Thank you, sir, very much for being with us.
Oh, thank you, Greg. Thanks for having me.
As always, it's a pleasure. Georgia Republican Congressman Phil Gingrey represents his state's 11th congressional district. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.